Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here on a program, Bryce Bauer. He's a 2005 Audubon High School graduate and a writer who has just come out with a book called Gentlemen Bootleggers, a little bit about Templeton Rye and some of their history. We'll talk about that this morning. Bryce, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Hey, let's first talk a little bit about your writing career. Where'd you get the bug?
Where'd I get the bug? That's a good question. You know, I started writing just short, little, fairly terrible stories when I was in middle school at Audubon. So, been doing it for a number of years.
And I assume you got a lot of good encouragement from some of your instructors over the years?
I got excellent encouragement, starting with a lot of those teachers who just, when during quiet time, they just let me write, and they would read them, and they would say they're great, and they probably weren't, but it was really good encouragement.
So you wouldn't find too many teachers from Audubon High School saying, Bryce Bauer's a writer? Really?
You might. You know, I don't know. I look forward to talking to him.
Very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about the experience here. Gentlemen Bootleggers is the name of the book. A lot of us around the area have had our taste of Templeton Rye. A lot of us have heard a lot of the stories over the years. But, you know, being something that's typically been considered kind of under the table all those years, what was it like to come up with the idea and then go through the whole process of researching and writing a book like that?
You know, it was surprising at every turn, for sure. Yeah, I heard about a lot of those stories, a lot of them coming from Louis Lauritsen, who was a friend of our family's and would always share stories with us whenever we met up with him. But the people of Templeton actually had written down quite a bit in their centennial book. Lamb Schwaller, who was kind of the town historian of Templeton, had collected some really good interviews and brought a lot of that stuff to the table and really kind of let us know that there were documents out there in old newspapers and in the National Archives.
Wow. So did you have to do a whole lot of digging to find all the research you needed?
It was several years of digging, and I don't even want to begin to think of how many hours, but we went through newspapers, decades of several newspapers, including the Audubon paper and the Carroll paper and the Manning paper. So a lot of local papers really helped us out a lot.
Was that your goal, Bryce, to put together kind of a compilation of a lot of the stories and maybe some of the history behind to see if some of the stories were actually true?
Yeah, the project started out as a documentary with Dan Manat, and we started just collecting oral histories. And then when we really started talking more to people in Templeton, we realized that some of this stuff was actually documented, and we could figure out whether these stories were true.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite a history of the area, because as I say, it seems like at that time, it seemed like Templeton Rye, that whiskey business sure seemed to have a big impact on the local economy.
Yeah, it certainly did. It employed, you know, hundreds of people at least. It really provided a cash flow to a lot of farmers during the 1920s when the farm economy was really, really not good.
Bryce, I have to ask you, because there are so many stories about something like Templeton Rye
mm-hmm.
that have been passed down through the generations. How do you muddle through some of the stories that have been told that may or may not be true, or do you just kind of use them as part of its history?
Yeah, well, some of the oral history, you know, if you hear it enough, you start to get a little bit, you start to kind of believe that probably it's true. But a lot of these stories we were able to connect back to specific instances that were mentioned in the case files that were collected by the prohibition agent, Benjamin Franklin Wilson, who used to be an old Audubon sheriff before he joined the prohibition force. And then other ones we would find mentioned in newspapers. Lamb Schwaller also interviewed Joe Earlbeck, who was the kingpin, and we got a lot of firsthand stories from Joe that in that interview that connected to other stories that we had heard.
Wow. Well, we don't want to give away too much of the book. We'd like them to buy that and to take a good look at it themselves. But were there too many things that you found that really surprised you?
We know what really surprised me is how much it connected to American history and Iowa history at the time. These were German Catholic bootleggers coming out of the First World War, when it was really a difficult time to be a German in America. In Audubon, in fact, two German Americans, one who was a farmer and one who was a reverend in a church north of town, were both nearly lynched because they were accused of being too German at the time. So it was really a lot of little stories like that that connected to bigger themes in history that was fascinating for me.
Well, you may have just answered my next question, too, because I was going to ask you, you know, this is a great local story. A lot of folks here around the region and perhaps across Iowa may be familiar with the story of Templeton Rye and may very well be interested in purchasing a book like this. But how do you pitch something like that, that kind of an idea, to an agent who's trying to capture a much larger audience?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it was a bit of a struggle for a while to find somebody who could think of how to make this have more national appeal. But people are really, really interested in the Prohibition era. And so many of the stories, though, that have been told are stories from New York, from Chicago, from New Orleans to San Francisco, from these big cities, Detroit. You hear a lot from Detroit. So this was kind of unique, and they were able to say, well, here's another side of this Prohibition story that you haven't heard. And, oh, by the way, it also connects to really good whiskey, so...
Yeah, a lot of people could attest to that as well.
Yeah.
Well, talk a little bit about what's coming up for you now, too. First of all, where can folks find the book?
It's in bookstores. It's in Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. And then I'm going to be doing an event during T-Bone Days at the Audubon Public Library, I think from 11 to 3. We're going to be signing some books and doing a little donation to the library at the same time.
So well, excellent.
Yeah. And I hope people come and share their stories with me. I'm looking forward to hearing some of those.
Is the book available in e-version as well?
Yes, you can get it on Kindle, you can get it on all of those e-book readers. So.
Well, very good. Well, it sounds like quite an ambitious project for you here. Now, this isn't the end of it, though, is it? Are you going to do some video work with this as well?
We have a documentary that's coming out called Whiskey Cookers, The Amazing Story of the Templeton, Iowa Bootleggers that will be airing on public television in the fall. We don't have the exact air dates yet, but when they get them to us, we'll definitely let everybody in the area know. And that'll also be premiering at the Landmark Film Festival in Iowa City at the end of August.
Well, sounds like you have some ambitious plans then.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's been a great, great thing. We will be doing some screenings of the documentary around the Carroll County, the Audubon County areas as well.
Where do you see your career taking off then? Do you see yourself as a writer or a documentary film producer, or do you have other ideas of where you think you might want to go if this takes off and becomes what you hope it is?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm looking forward to doing more of both, and I'm doing a little bit of teaching now as well, which helps pay the bills. But I'm casting around for a new project. It's rare that you alight on one that's so interesting and so fascinating. So right now I'm just keeping my eyes open and hoping to find something new to work on.
Well, especially so early in one's career.
Yes.
You know, guys like Ken Burns and some of the guys who've made a real living on documentary filmmaking really caught people's interest in a lot of big stories and been able to capture a lot of corporate support in helping to finance those things. You know, that doesn't happen by accident.
No, you have to build it up slowly. And I think I certainly got lucky with how interesting this story turned out to be. Going in, you know, I certainly knew that these were fascinating stories that I'd heard from people in the community, but I didn't know how rich it was as a piece of local history.
Does it help that it's just kind of Americana? It's right here in the middle of the country. It's actual, real, down-to-earth folks?
Exactly. People love those stories people love stories that are from that real America, that aren't the cosmopolitan people on the coast, that aren't the wealthy people that are going to clubs and throwing out a lot of money. These were farmers who were doing this because they needed to earn a living and they wanted to make a really good whiskey. So it's a very heartland story.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's not, people might look at the documentary film business and think that it's, something less than Hollywood, but it's a very difficult business to really be successful in.
There's not nearly as much money out there for it as there is for large feature films. And yet, the documentary work, it took a lot of travel, It's not a cheap thing to do. We were traveling back to Iowa quite a bit. It was a lot of travel to D.C. for me, to Chicago. So it's not the best business, but hopefully we'll be able to get some good corporate money next time.
Get some of that out-of-pocket change taken care of, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. So you're living in New York City these days?
Yep. I'm in New York, and I'm teaching at a community college there.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you've got some real direction here and a good start, too, a good topic to start with. You know, there are so many cable channels out there focused on so much documentary work these days that I think there is definitely more of a market now for some of these pieces that really strike a chord with folks.
Oh, yeah, and people are always looking. looking for true stories, you know, true stories that connect and tell part of our history in a lively manner. People really like, they really enjoy that.
Absolutely. Bryce Bauer is the author's name. Gentlemen Bootleggers is the name of the book. And again, Bryce, where can folks find that?
It's on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and I'll be doing an event during T-Bone Days at the Ottoman Public Library as well.
So look for that coming up here in August.
Yep.
Great. Well, Bryce, again, thanks a lot for your time and continued success with your career.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on.